Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man Show here on Wednesday, the 16th of September. And I can't believe that we're just over halfway through September already. This month is literally going faster than what August or July was. And usually it doesn't do that. Are you surprised at how fast September's going by?
Oh,
it's going by quicker than what August or July did. Don't you agree? I don't understand why it would be going by quicker, because usually July, August always go by way quicker than what September does.
Mm-hmm.
September usually, either September or October, at least one of the two finds a way to go by super slow, especially once you get past Labor Day.
Yeah.
But it hasn't been doing that yet. Who knows, though, what might do that next week. I hope not, because I want fall to keep, coming. I do want it to move quick, though. And then, listeners, I do have some news regarding the Big Ten and play for the fall, which I will get to as part of the sports update. Also, I have a couple of NFL games to pick, and Midland High and Dow High's season openers to pick, which will be part of the sports update. And also something I did not get to, which I meant to get to on Monday night, and that was my thoughts on the limits on spectators at MHSAA events. I'm going to tell you right now that if the governor was listening, she would not like what I had to say. She would not like it. Maybe a tiny bit, but not much. But anyhow, and then but first, before we do any of that, we're going to talk a little bit, and then we'll sing a couple songs, and then we'll get into the word of the Lord. And then, of course, at the end, we'll talk about, our football. And then a quick update on how the Tigers are looking as they're trying to get a playoff spot. Albeit the playoffs are different this year. But if I talk too much about it now, I won't have the chance to talk about it later when we do our sports. And first we'll talk Tigers, then we'll go into the Football Central, which is always brought to you by Dairy Queen and has been since the first year that I launched this back in 2017. Ever since I launched Football Central, every edition of it here on Monday and Wednesday nights of the fall season, it's all brought to you by Dairy Queen and the blizzards of the fall, which I will mention that again when the time comes, but I was just kind of letting y'all know what's up with that. Also, on the weather front, get ready for a big cool down. It was basically 80 degrees today, just about. In fact, I was at the local beach here in Midland, Stratford Woods Park, There were a couple of other people at the park, but not really anyone else using the beach. And at first, the water was very cold. It took some getting used to. But whether or not I get back in the water will depend on what the temperatures do the next few nights. Because the temperatures go too low, it would get to where the water will just stay cold, right? Mm-hmm. So, and we have a couple of nights coming up here. Even tomorrow night, highs in the upper 30s. Friday night, lows in the mid 30s. Saturday night, lows in the upper 30s. So you look at that, 3 30s in a row. When you have a lake with no waves and that can make the temperatures fall off real quick. Huh. Mm-hmm. That can make the temperatures of that water fall off real quick. Yeah. And the last time I was in there was a couple of weeks prior. And at that point, I would say the water temperatures were still like in the 60s or 70s. I would say today they were like almost 70. But and for daytime highs, the next couple days, tomorrow you'll have highs in the lower 60s. Friday and Saturday you'll have partly cloudy skies, highs in the upper 50s. Again, like I said, lows in the 30s. But as you go through, once you get past Saturday, you start to notice a slight warm-up. Getting to the point where by next Wednesday, it's supposed to be 78, which by that point, you'll actually be in astronomical fall. Right now, we're still in astronomical summer. Meteorological summer ended 2 weeks ago yesterday. In meteorology, the seasons go by like the first day of the month. So just something to look at. Sometimes I bring this up here whenever I feel like it, if we're getting close to the start of a season and I feel like mentioning it. Every few months I bring it up. So the way it works in terms of meteorology is that the meteorology seasons, like winter is actually December to February, believe it or not. Not January to March, but December 1st to February 28th or 29th. The or, of course, depends on whether or not it's a leap year. This year was a leap year, so it was the 29th. Spring is March 1st to May 31st. Summer is June 1st to August 31st, and then fall, based on meteorology, is September 1st to November 30th. But, of course, with astronomical, winter starts in December, around December 20th or 21st, and then spring on March 20th or 21st, summer in June, again, around the same time, and same thing with fall, on like 20th or 21st. So in other words, in March and September are your equinoxes, you know, spring and fall, and then December and June are your solstices. And your solstices, those are important because those are the days that are either your shortest or your longest day in the year. So obviously, weather can probably be determined by, you know, the seasons. But again, you never know. That being said, it's Michigan, and sometimes Mother Nature doesn't care. At least we don't have that silly Sally down south with all the down on the coast, you know, in like South Alabama, South Mississippi, you know, North Florida, where they have all that storm surge and what have you from hurricanes. And so at least we don't have that. Now, anyhow, I also wanted to remind you, what Becky, have you heard of Punkin Whoopie Pies before?
Yeah.
Where did you hear of them from?
My mom.
Did she get them from the Amish bakery in Clare?
I don't know. Probably.
You've heard of the Amish bakery in Clare, haven't you?
Mm-hmm.
Have you had their stuff before? But the stuff is really good. Yeah. You have had some of it?
I had some of the other stuff they had.
Was it really good?
Yeah.
Maybe or yes.
Yeah.
It really was. That, of course, my personal favorite there, I don't know if they have really good donuts. They have pumpkin bread in the fall. They have, well, I think they have a pumpkin roll in the fall. I forget. But they also have, and of course, my favorite whoopie pie that they have there. This is my favorite whoopie that they do the whole year. Is they don't do it all year, but they're not even open all year. They're only open from May to November. But my favorite whoopie pie that they do is the pumpkin whoopie. And they should be doing it now. I haven't called yet in the fall, but my honest hope is that they're still doing it because I love myself some of those pumpkin whoopie pies from the Country Cook Stove. And usually, if I get, say, 8 whoopies, for example, like if it's like the summer, I might get 4 chocolate, 4 oatmeal. But then when they got the pumpkin, basically I'll get all pumpkin because they're that good. And that was the first whoopie pie I ever tried, was the pumpkin whoopie pie 5 years ago from the Country Cook Stove. And it's super soft. Especially if you get it right out of the bag and it hasn't even been in the fridge or anything yet. It's just super soft and so delicious. My father's just thinking about it. And it really is some good stuff. Doesn't it make you want it, Becky? Yes. You know it does, doesn't it? And they really are that. They really are good. And you can find them on South Everhart Avenue in Clare when you put it into your GPS. Mind you, as of this year, they are only open on Fridays and Saturdays for whatever reason. They used to be open as much as Monday through Saturday every day, but Thursday, and then also closed on Sunday. But over the last few years, for a couple of years, it was just Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday. Now it's just Friday and Saturday. And as to why, I don't know. Nonetheless, it's great sweets with a great feeling. Of great, you know, I like to say they have this sweets made with love. I know someplace out on the East Coast, they were labeling their products saying made with love. The FDA saw it and said, love cannot be listed as an ingredient. I had seen that like 5 years ago. I heard about this like 5 years ago. Becky, don't you think that's dumb? I do. You do think that's dumb? I think it's dumb that the FDA said that you can't list love as an ingredient. I think it's dumb. Because what something's made with love, that means it might be really good, you know. And usually it is. And I remember one time I was at someone's house a few years ago, like 5 years ago. Around that same time, they made this pasta dish, and it was really good, like lasagna or something. And I said, would you put in this? It's really good. She said, it's made with love. And it was like, you know, the real creamy stuff, the way you like it, the nice melty cheese. You didn't have all those crazy vegetable chunks in the way. Thank the Lord for that. Instead, you have nice meat chunks instead. You can tell that I do not like vegetable chunks being in my pasta, can't you? You don't like it either, do you? It really is. And that was some nice, creamy, tasty pasta. I forget exactly what it was. It might have been Alfredo. It might have been spaghetti. It might have been stroganoff. I don't know. I just know it was really good. And she had said it was made with love. And so I found, so when I had heard about that place out on the East Coast that was doing that, and then they were told by the FDA, it was the USDA, either one of them, and they were told, can't say made with love anymore. I was dumbfounded. I was pretty disturbed. I really was. It was some kind of sweet treat, so I'm not sure what it was. But it sounds better to say, like, whoopie pie is made with love, or caramel apple pie made with love, or pasta made with love, or donuts made with love. That sounds so much better than, like, broccoli rolls made with love. Let me think here. What vegetable do I despise the most? Oh, Brussels sprouts. Brussels sprouts made with love. No. Is that how you feel, too, about Brussels sprouts? Are you just saying that, or is that how you feel about it? Because I'm making sure you're telling me the truth. Because obviously not everybody has the same taste buds. Yeah. And I'm like, those Brussels sprouts aren't made with love. That obviously if they make them, that doesn't mean they don't like it. But I just say they're made with something else. Not necessarily anything bad, but it's just that they don't taste good. They don't. But of all the vegetables I ever tried, those and some of those peppers, those either. Some of those are not made with love. But, you know, some of those other things that I mentioned. And when something's made with love, a lot of times that means it can't be mass-produced, right? Mm-hmm. Like Lay's and some of those things, even though they're tasty and that, they're not necessarily made with love. Is that a good way to put it? That means like there's something special about them. Like when you go to that awesome diner. Like, that's how I feel about Schmucker's in Toledo, Ohio. Good stuff. Check it out if you're down there and you get a chance. really is good stuff. All right. Now, I wanted to remind you also, real quick, voting. It's real important that you get your vote counted. Voting absentee, by that means, like, you fill out the form and you, like, you state a reason for it and everything else. You fill out the thing and you do your, state your reason. And then those, the ones that are vetted, absentee voting is good. Mail-in voting, on the other hand, which is like when our governor here in Michigan and a bunch of these other governors are trying to push, they sent out to all the Michigan voters unsolicited forms in which they could fill out to have a ballot mailed to them. Part of what bothered me about them is that they were unsolicited. Mm-hmm. And did your mom explain to you what's so wrong with the mail-in voting? You just heard that's an unsolicited thing, that was bad, right? But there are plans regarding those ballots that if you vote a certain way with those ballots, they may try to mess with them and try to change them, like the mail people or whatever. There's some parts of it I don't understand, but I do know it's very, 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 very wrong what they want to do. So what I suggest is either you do the absentee, like the ones that are vetted, like the traditional way that you would vote absentee, or you do the other, which is go out and vote in person on election day or early voting if you're in a state that does early voting. My state here doesn't, but make your vote count and vote, because obviously if you vote in person, then goes in the machine right there, whether it's the paper ballot or the machine ballot. Either way, you know, it gets counted, and then they'll count it that night when the polls close. These mail-in voting, the problem with all these mail-in ballots is that if you send yours out too late, it might not be counted. And obviously, if you are someone who has used absentee voting for a long time, obviously you know about how to mail it in on time so that your vote gets counted. Because obviously you want your vote to count. And obviously, as I've talked before, you want to vote Bible. First and foremost, you want to vote Bible. Vote for the candidates that best represent your God. And then the Lord Jesus, and the Constitution. Don't necessarily just vote for this person because they want to bring the economy back. They want to bring jobs back. So you have to vote based on God. Don't just vote based on the certain things you care about. I had a friend on my Facebook a couple days ago. They posted something, they're supposed to be this really good Christian. But then they said, well, I'm for this thing. And then I said what I said, and then they're like, well, you la 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 la. And then I'm like, okay, I'm not going to argue with this person. What happened to them? So ultimately what you have to do is vote Bible and what it really says, based on what it really says, not what you think it should say. And the choices in this election couldn't be any more clear. And I think of that verse that says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, where it says, well, God said, if my people would humble themselves and pray, if they seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. So to America, it would say, like, if my people who are called by my name, my people who are called by my name here in the United States of America, if my people but humble themselves, pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, and vote righteously, you know, vote Bible, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sins, and heal their land. I wasn't necessarily adding to the Bible verse by any means, because I don't believe you should add to the Bible or take anything out of it. Like, by add to it, I mean make it say something it didn't say. Or at the same time, take something out that it actually said, because for whatever reason you don't like it or whatever. All I was doing was saying, like, God would be saying, if my people vote, also. Even though vote is not in that verse. But still, even last time, last election, you know, the big presidential election in 2016, I posted something similar to that. And people agreed. They were very receptive. Of course, I didn't have the show yet, but this isn't the last time that you'll hear me say what I just said, because as we're getting closer and closer and closer, this is very important. Very important. After today, there are 14 plus 31. When I add 14 and 31 together, I get 45, 47. And on the 48th day, we vote. So after today, 47 days. That's it. And it's time to be keeping America in prayer. And obviously the enemy has plans. There are plans. They want to rig the election. And we got to pray against that. And we can't just pray. We also have to vote. Did you know that in 2018, less than 30% of what they call the evangelicals, less than 30% of them voted? In 2016, the evangelicals are why the president, who is there now, got in there in the first place, because the evangelicals voted. Like 80% of them voted. Imagine if like 97% of them voted. Then, and what if everyone who calls themselves a Christian voted righteously? Now, I know you have some that won't. You know, you have people who say they're Christians, but they don't live like it at all. They don't vote like it. They don't read their Bible. They don't pray. They don't. But just imagine if they were all did everything they were supposed to do. Then we'd be in so much better of a place right now as a country. But because according to a certain poll, it was said that 87% of people refer to themselves as Christian in some way or another, even if it's Catholic, even if it's Presbyterian, even if it's, you know, these different branches. Of course, I'm non-denominational, but so needless to say, pray, vote, and make sure your friends, your relatives, neighbors, make sure they go out to vote. Maybe if you folks live together, maybe you guys go vote, and then maybe after that you guys go get, I don't know, coffee or something. All right, moving along. Now, I want to sing you a couple of songs. Jesus be the center of it all. Jesus be the center of it all. From beginning to the end, it will always be. It's always been you, Jesus. Jesus. Jesus be the center of it all. Jesus be the center of it all. From beginning to the end, it will always be. It's always being you, Jesus. Jesus, nothing else matters. Everything revolves around you. Jesus, be the center. Nothing in this world will do. Jesus, you. Jesus, be the center of my life. Jesus, be the center of my life. From beginning to the end, it will always be. It's always been you, Jesus. Jesus, nothing else matters. Everything revolves around you. Jesus, be the center. Nothing in this world will do. Jesus, you. Jesus, you. Nothing else matters. Nothing in this world will do. Jesus, be the center. Everything revolves around you. Jesus, you. From my heart to the heavens, Jesus, be the center. It's all about you. Yes, it's all about you. From my heart to the heavens, Jesus, you're the center. It's all about you. Yes, it's all about you. From my heart to the heavens, Jesus, be the center. It's all about you. Yes, it's all about you. From my heart to the heavens, Jesus be the center, it's all about you. Yes, it's all about you. Nothing else matters. Nothing in this world will do. Jesus be the center. Everything revolves around you. Jesus, you. Nothing else matters. Nothing in this world will do. Jesus be the center. Everything revolves around you. Jesus, you. Jesus be the center of your church. And every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. No. My foes are many. They rise against me, but I will hold my ground. I will not fear the war. I will not fear the storm. My help is on the way. My help is on the way. Oh, my God, you will not delay. My refuge and strength always. I will not fear. Your promise is true. My God will come through always, always. Trials are abounding. Chaos abounding, my soul will rest in you. Yes, Lord, I will not fear the war. I will not fear the storm. My help is on the way. My help is on the way. Oh, my God, he will not delay. My refuge and strength always. I will not fear. His promise is true. My God will come through always, always. I lift my eyes up, my help comes from the Lord. I lift my eyes up, my help comes from the Lord. I lift my eyes up. My help comes from the Lord. I lift my eyes up. My help comes from the Lord. Oh, my God, he will not my refuge and strength always. I will not fear, His promise is true. My God will come through always, always. I lift my eyes up, my help comes from the Lord. I lift my eyes up, my help comes from you, Lord. I lift my eyes up, my help comes from you, the Lord. Ooh. I lift my eyes up, my help comes from the Lord. Amen. Lord God, we come before you right now tonight. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that our help does come from you, Lord. Our help comes from you, Lord. And I just thank you, Lord God, that whatever we have need of, that you are there to help us. Whatever it is that's going on, and I just thank you, Lord God, that your hand is upon us. Your hand is on our life. You, Lord God, are making yourself known in our lives. And I just thank you for everything you're doing. I thank you for everything that you are doing in us, everything you're going to do in us, and everything that you've already done. And I thank you, Lord God, right now, that every need represented on this radio program, every need that is represented is met in your name, Jesus. And I just give you praise and honor and glory that you're just meeting every need. And I thank you for this word tonight, Lord God, that you would use it. Thank you that I pray, Lord God, that you would use me to deliver this word tonight. Thank you that the listeners have ears to hear it, minds ready to receive it, and that they're ready to put it into practice in their lives. And I give you all the praise and honor and glory for that in Jesus' name. And Lord, I make my confession over this program tonight. I say that sponsors and partners would come into this program. I say that finances would come into this program. I say that increases in listenership would come to this program. And most important of all, Lord Jesus, I thank you right now for the huge harvest of souls coming into the kingdom of God as a result of this great radio program. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn with me in your Bible, please, to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 7. Woo, praise God. 1 Samuel chapter 7. And we'll see what all the Lord has for us tonight. So the men of Kirjath-Jearim came and took up the ark of the Lord, and they took it to Abinadab's house on the hill, and they consecrated Eleazar, his son, to guard the ark of the Lord. Verse 2. It was a long time, 20 years in all, that the ark remained at Kirjath Jearim, and all the people of Israel mourned and sought after the Lord. And Samuel said to the whole house of Israel, if you are returning to the Lord with all your heart, then rid yourselves of the foreign gods and the Ashtaroths and commit yourselves to the Lord and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. So the Israelites put away their Baals and their Ashtaroths, and they served the Lord only. Then Samuel said, assemble all Israel at Mizpah, and I will intercede with the Lord for you. When they had assembled at Mizpah, they drew water, and they poured it out before the Lord. On the day they fasted, and there they confessed, we have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel was leader of Israel at Mizpah. When the Philistines heard that Israel had assembled at Mizpah, the rulers of the Philistines came up to attack them. And when the Israelites heard of it, they were afraid because of the Philistines. And they said to Samuel, do not stop crying out to the Lord our God for us, that you may rescue us from the hand of the Philistines. Then Samuel took a suckling lamb, and he offered it up as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. He cried out to the Lord on Israel's behalf, and the Lord answered him. While Samuel was sacrificing the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to engage Israel in battle. But that day, the Lord thundered with loud thunder against the Philistines and threw them into such a panic that they were routed before the Israelites. The men of Israel rushed out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines, slaughtering them along the way to a point below Bethkar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it up in Shin. He named it Eleazar, saying, thus far has the Lord helped us. So the Philistines were subdued and did not invade Israelite territory again. Throughout Samuel's lifetime, the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines. The towns, Ekron to Gath, that the Philistines had captured from Israel, were restored to her. And Israel delivered the neighboring. Israel delivered the neighboring territory from the power of the Philistines. And there was peace between Israel and the Amorites. Samuel continued as judge over Israel all the days of his life. From year to year, he went on a circuit from Bethel to Gilgal to Mizpah, judging Israel in all those places. But he always went back to Ramah, where his home was. And there he also judged Israel, and he built an altar there to the Lord. And then I'm going to read you this chapter, and we'll talk about it a little bit. Chapter 8. When Samuel grew old, he appointed his sons as judges of Israel. The name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of the second was Abijah. And they served at Beersheba. But his sons did not walk in his ways, and they turned aside after dishonest gain, and they accepted bribes, and they perverted justice. So all the elders of Israel gathered together, and they came to Samuel at Ramah, and they said to him, "You are old, and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now appoint a king to lead us, such as all the other nations do," just like all the other nations have. But when they said, "Give us a king to lead us," this displeased Samuel, so he prayed to the Lord. And the Lord told him, "Listen to all that the people are saying to you. It is not you that they have rejected, but they have rejected me as their king, as they have done from the day I brought them up out of Egypt until this day, forsaking me and serving other gods. So they are doing to you. Now listen to them, but warn them solemnly, and let them know who will reign over them. Warn solemnly, and let them know what the king who will reign over them will do." Samuel told all the words of the Lord to the people who were asking him for a king, and he said, "This is what the king who will rule over you will do. He will take your sons, he will make them serve with his chariots and horses, and they will run in front of his chariot. So he will assign to be commanders of thousands and commanders of fifties and others to plow his ground and reap his harvest, and still others to make weapons of war and equipment for his chariot. He will take up daughters to be perfumers and cooks and bakers. And he will take the best, he will take the best of your fields and vineyards and your olive groves and follow them to his give them to his attendants. And he will take a tenth of your grain and of your vintage, and will give it to his officials and to his attendants. Your men servants and your maid servants and the best of your cattle and donkeys he will take for his own use. He will take a tenth of your flock and you yourselves will become his slaves. When that day comes, you will cry out for relief from the king that you have chosen. And the Lord will not answer you in that day." But the people refused to listen to Samuel. "No, no," they said, "we want a king over us. Then we will be like all the other nations, with a king to lead us and to go out before us and fight our battles." When Samuel heard all the people said, he replied it. I mean, he repeated it before the Lord. And the Lord answered, "Listen to them. Give them a king." And Samuel said to the men of Israel, "Everyone go back to his town." All right. What you have here is, first you have the Israelites They were not serving the Lord as what they were supposed to. And then they started to cry out. And they assembled and they fasted. And then they ask, Samuel then asks them, after the 20 years that the ark was up, was kept at the same place, after the 20 years, they were all crying, and he asked them, if you intend on serving the Lord, put away your ashtaroth, put away your Baals, In other words, put away all those false gods. They put them away, and they sat there, and they all cried out, God, we have sinned. We've done wrong. Forgive us. And then they went out, The Philistines tried to attack the Israelites while Samuel was giving a burnt offering sacrifice before the Lord. But the Israelites stood their ground. They stood their ground and they were so fierce. And the Lord thundered such a loud thunder that it confused all of those crazy Philistines, and they all got slaughtered by the Israelites. And they never interfered with the Israelites again. Not only in the same old religion. And then later on, Samuel gets old. He says he's going to appoint his sons as judges. So his sons are being judges. But the men of Israel admit, and the men of Israel even admit to Samuel, they say, Samuel, your sons, we have concerns about your sons, and those concerns are that your sons, Samuel, they are not following in your ways. They're not living like you. They're not doing a good job. And he says, okay. And they say, we want a king. And then he tells them, look, folks, it's not the wish of the Lord for you to have a king. Not God's will for you to have a king. And then they tell him what they tell him, and then he pleads with the Lord. And they said, okay, they can have a king, but here's how he's going to be. And then he tells them that eventually that they're going to end up being his slaves, and that he will keep a lot of things that he asks the people to give, that he's going to keep it for himself. It's not going to be like taxes, like where you give, like giving taxes to the government, you expect to get something in return. He'll take some of that, he'll even take some of your flocks and herds, and they'll take it for himself. They say, no, we don't want that. We want a king. And then, so Samuel repeats everything to the Lord. And then the Lord says, okay. And then Samuel ends up anointing Saul to be king. But as we know, Saul did not exactly serve as king. He did not exactly serve the Lord. He didn't exactly rule the way God wanted him to rule. God told him, kill all of the of those animals, all those different lambs and stuff. He said, kill all of them. And then not only does he save the good, he lies about what he did. He said, I kill them all. I kill them all. Then he gets asked, what's the bleeding I hear? What's that noise? What's that sheep? What's the grazing? What's all this? What's all the people I hear? And then he finally admits, I've sinned. I did not read you that chapter tonight, but I was pointing out that was one of the things, just one of the things that Saul did that he was told not to do. And then God said, I repent that I have made Saul king. There were a few times where God actually repented for something. Even though God sinned, I mean, God has never sinned in his ever. He said, I wish, in a way, when he said, I repent that I've made Saul king, it's almost like, I wish that I didn't make Saul king. Because he was grieved that he had done that. Because Saul was not walking in the ways of the Lord. And the people even, and this was after the people asked for a king. And the reason they wanted a king was so that they could be like the other nations. Apparently, they didn't want to be set apart. They didn't want to be the called out ones. Apparently, they decided, we don't want to serve the Lord no more, even though they didn't say that in that chapter. It's like they were like saying, we don't want to serve the Lord anymore. And this is after they go after Samuel's sons for not serving the Lord. How contradictory is that? How contradictory is that? We want a king. Because your sons are not serving the Lord. And they're not being the good judges. But at the same time, they're saying, you know, we want a king. So Samuel tells them what this new king will be like. And they're like, we want a king. And then it turns out that Saul ends up not being a good king. Now, in the end, he repents. But at times, even that evil spirit would come upon Saul. And David would come in and play because the harp would calm down and would help take away that evil spirit. But the Lord, at times, it was the Lord that was giving him. The evil spirit came from the Lord. Saul did not do. He did not walk in the ways of God. He didn't. And he ended up in trouble with God, even though later he made it right. And at times, Samuel even ended up rebuking Saul and telling him, don't do this this way. Don't do this this way. Don't do this this way. You're going to get in trouble with God. What you're doing isn't going to work. What you're doing is not going to work. What you're doing here, it isn't going to work. And that's what he keeps telling. But Saul basically just decides, my way or the highway. He didn't end up being exactly how God wanted him to be. And I don't know what got into the Israelites that they went from Samuel, we repent to the Lord for what all we've done. We're repenting to the Lord. We're getting right with you. We're turning away from the Ashtaroth, the Baal. But then, when his sons become judges, they decide, we don't want his sons to be judges. They don't live the way you lived. They don't serve God in the same way. But then they decide they want a king. And the king they get doesn't even serve the Lord. Therefore, they end up not serving the Lord. And they they kept whining and complaining. And they were struggling with things ever since they were brought up out of Egypt. And but the Lord gave them what they wanted. Even though they weren't doing as they were supposed to be. But what we need to do is to obey God, not just go by what seems comfortable at the time. You know, what's the flavor of the day? Am I going to obey him today? Am I not going to obey him today? You know, am I going to be like this or that? Am I going to do everything he says? Or is it going to be my way or the highway? Can't do that. You got to serve the Lord. And you need to confess over your house and over your life and over your family. As for me and my house, we serve the Lord no matter what. We don't give a jab about serving the Lord. We don't serve the Lord for 6 months and then say, okay, it's been 180 days. We're done. So, Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord Jesus, for this word tonight. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you're with us all the time. You make a way for us, Lord God. And I just thank you for this word tonight, that we would get it all inside of us, and that we would put the word, your word, Lord God, to practice, and that we would always serve you wholeheartedly, not just when it feels good or feels right, but that we would do it all the time, regardless. And I give you all the praise and all the glory and all the honor for that. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Last night, the Tigers got a big win over the Royals, 6-0 in Detroit. Miguel Cabrera with a big solo home run, his first one since August 24th. And for him, that was home run number 6. And when you only have a 70-game season, for a guy who's getting up there in age, I would say that's not exactly terrible. Like if we were at like game 140 right now, based on how he's been doing, I'm guessing that would equal out to like 12. My hope is that he'll hit a couple more home runs. He'll hit a few more home runs as the season progresses. That's near the end. Right now, as it looks, the Tigers are just outside, a few games outside of that playoff race. They just need to find a way to win a lot more of these games and hope that the Yankees can lose a couple. Then hopefully they'll find a way to get in. Just have to hope. You just have to hope. Now, in terms of football, I'm going to pick these games first, and then we're going to have some discussion. What I mean is I'll give you some opinions on what I think about a few different things. Actually, let me deal with that news item first. The news item that broke today is that the Big Ten did, in fact, reverse its August decision. In August, they had decided that they were going to not even bother with playing until the spring. They had not released what the spring schedules would look like either. Now, they have chosen that they are going to play in the fall, starting on October 24th. There will be protocols in place, like the players are going to be tested every day, antigen tested. If they test positive, they'll have to have like the other test to see. And then they have like real tough protocols, different protocols on if the based on, you know, community cases and also team amount of cases, you know, based on percent. That is good news that the Big Ten is going to play. However, we don't have schedules as far as when we will play that team from the South, when Michigan will play that team from the South, when will we play MSU, when will we play Indiana, you know, Minnesota with, you know, the Cheeseheads. And the other stuff. So, about these picks. I'm going to start with high school. Midland travels to Saginaw this weekend to take on the Trojans. As for Midland, they are returning a nice group of players from last year's team. They only graduated 13 seniors last year, which means this year they'll more than likely have a lot more seniors on the team. And so I expect them to do very good this season. And they are going to play the Trojans of Saginaw High last year, who did not do good at all. They barely scored any points. They didn't win any games at all. But I always like to pick Midland games anyway. So Midland versus Saginaw. I think it'll be a good, almost like a practice for them. And, of course, in the words of Son of Swami, who is that guy from the Detroit Free Press who makes up these names for these teams? So, for the Midland-Saginaw game, give me Comics 52, Trojan Horses 6. So I'm hoping I'll beat Saginaw in my book 52-6. Now, also Friday night at 7 p.m., Dow hosts Bay City Central. Bay City Central last year was, they ended up being 3-6. Dow ended up 6-3. Sometimes Bay City Central plays Dow tough. Other times, Dow just totally has their way with them. I think of a time a few years ago where Central actually beat Dow. Second, and they're on Central's second game of the year. But then after that, Dow went on a roll, but then ended up losing to Midland in the regular season finale. So, Dow had lost their head coach from last year. They lost a good amount of seniors. I figured they'd either be 3-3 or 4-2. I do think this has the potential to be a good game. So when I look at everything, give me Dow Jones Industrial Average 28, Never Cry Wolf 23. And when I do these names, I don't always do it to make fun of the city or the high school, nor is it always to make fun of the team name. It can be either or. It has something to do with either or something sounding close to it. That kind of makes sense, doesn't it? Well, like as the case of Midland, I use, like, you know, comic books or comics. Dow, I always say Dow Jones Industrial Average rather than saying Chargers, because with Midland, I say comics, referring to the chemics. Now, Son of Swami in the past, he's referred to it as chemical spills, but I saw it as not nice, because that makes it sound like he was dissing Midland. Don't you agree? Mm-hmm. So that's why I said comic books instead, which I think makes more sense. All right. Pro time. I may pick a couple of SEC games or something for college to hold us over until the Big Ten starts up in a month. Maybe if Texas is playing someone that's really good in the Big 12, I might pick that game. And I try to pick 6 games a week normally, but right now it's looking more like 4. So, let's move on to the NFL. On Sunday, the Lions go to Green Bay, the Tundra, at Lambeau Field to take on the Pack on Sunday at 1 p.m. Of course, as I said, at the Tundra. It'll be like a mini Tundra this weekend here, a very low-scale one, but the highs in the 50s. I'll have to look at Green Bay, but I'm guessing they'll be a little bit cooler than that. Maybe a little, not a lot, though. But they fly out there on Sunday. And the Lions had chances to win that game this past Sunday when they were playing the Bears. But they gave up the 10-point lead. They need to find a way to be more crisp from start to finish. And if they want this team to totally stay together and not have a bunch of the players be replaced, they need to start winning now. They have to. If they don't, the coach could be let go. Maybe Stafford might end up going to another team. Wait and see. Beating the Pack in Green Bay, they did it 6 years ago, something they hadn't done since 91. And then they did it again a couple years later. They almost did it last year, but they ended up unable to do it. This time, I think you're going to have another close one. It's going to be a close call. I really do. What will Green Bay be like? This is only the second game. But my pick is going to be no Pack, no. 27, lie down, 23. Once again, Green Bay is going to beat Detroit 27-23. And when I call Detroit the lie downs when I'm making these picks, it's because I'm expecting them to lose. I'm going to change that. Change that, though. Instead of just saying lie down when I'm picking them, it's going to be lying down. Because when they're losing, that means that at some point they're taking a nap. Because they were playing pretty good football early on. But then through the fourth quarter, the Lions were on the field and they're like they were taking their nap. Okay. Now, Buccaneers-Panthers, Sunday. Game two for Brady. Can Brady find a way to step it up? Or is this a sign that his age is giving him difficulty? Maybe. We'll have to wait and see. As, like I said, the Bucs are playing the Panthers. And, of course, Cam Newton is now a Patriot. So, I think it could be a good game. But at the same time, I do think that Brady is going to get some things figured out. Mind you, they didn't really have the preseason this year, so that could have made things a bit more difficult for him. So, when I look at this, give me – million bucks, 31. Give me big bucks, 31. Million bucks, 31, actually. Million bucks, 31. Pink Panther, 21. Once again, my four picks for the weekend are Midland over Saginaw, Dow over Bay City Central, Packers beating the Lions, and Buccaneers over the Panthers. And we'll see how we did on Monday. We'll see how we did. And then, of course, on Monday night, we have to do our bonus pick for the NFL, which is Monday Night Football. All right. I confess Psalm 91 over us in the name of Jesus. I say that no plague shall come nigh us or our immediate loved ones. We're going to live in great peace and great joy and prosperity and be a powerful witness, Lord Jesus. Amen. And until next time, God first, God always. So long, everyone.